John ends this portion of his writing with, "We write this to make our joy complete." Some manuscripts say to make your joy complete. Either one is correct, because Paul says other places in Scripture, "What is our joy and glory? Is it not you? And what better joy can we have as Christians than to be living according to God's word, living according to the leading of his Spirit, to have fellowship with each other, and to be right with God? There is no greater joy than we can have than that." John goes on to tell us in the rest of chapter 1 and the first 11 verses of chapter 2 of how we should live our lives. And he puts it pretty bluntly. We talk quite often about unity in the body, and rightfully so. That is the fellowship that John is talking about. John says in verses 6 and 7, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. We do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from our sins." I like what our speaker in Sunday school said this morning, that John calls those who do not love, that do not care about their brothers and sisters, "You're just plain a liar." It's the plain truth. This fellowship that John talks about is very, very important to our Lord. It's one of the dominant subjects in his high earthly prayer that we read about in John 17. Jesus makes it pretty plain. If we do not have fellowship with each other, we do not have fellowship with him either. Here have we lost our salvation? No. But our fellowship with him is broken, and also with the body. The body is the one that suffers, and also our sanctification, or our spiritual growth, is stagnated. John also says we need to have a right view of sin. As Pastor Andrew talked about a few weeks ago when Eli was baptized, it says in verse 10, "If we claim to we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our hearts." So we need to recognize that we all, no matter where we are in our Christian walk, still sin. We're still sinners. This is part of our human nature that we received from Adam. But do we confess our sins and deal with them? Or do we let them lie and fester like an open wound? And two, are we living in known sin? If you are, Scripture would say, first examine yourselves, as we read about in 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 6. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that you have not failed the test. That has to do with our justification again. And Peter, in 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11, deals more on the sanctification part of our walk. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters," he says, "make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We will talk about this more later, but for now, if this is where you are spiritually, check yourself. If you are failing the test of what 1 Corinthians says, check yourself. And make sure that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're stagnated in your spiritual life, check yourself there also. And see if there's some things that you need to confess and need to work on. John says we need to have love. He says in verse 6 that whoever claims to be in him must walk as Jesus walked. Love was all over Jesus. He loved unconditionally. Do we love like that? It is one of the signs of the Spirit, that the Spirit is living within us. And apart from Him living in us, it is virtually impossible to love like He loves. But in the context of our verses, we are particularly talking about love for each other in the fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul devotes the whole chapter to how we are to love, and without love, what good are our deeds? We're just a noisy gong. John says, without love, we are blind and can be led anywhere by Satan. We see that in verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Which brings us to our verses for today. But we're not going to read them quite yet. We're going to skip over them and go to chapter 3, where John continues to talk about love. John tells us, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God, part of His family. His love is not just over us, but it is a love that He has put in our hearts for Him and for each other. John says these words in 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed His love for among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Don't these verses sound a lot like John 3:16 and 17? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. This goes back to the very beginning, where John tells us in verse 12 of chapter 3, do not be like Cain, who was evil and did not love. Remember what Cain told God when asked where Abel was. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Much like James talks about the proving of our faith by our actions, so John here also talks about the evidence of love in our lives by our actions or concern and welfare for our brothers. In 1 John, he really drives home the point that if we belong to Christ, we will have a deep love and concern for the body of Christ. We could spend many weeks on this subject, but we will not for today. For now, just know that the subject of love permeates through the whole chapter of John's letter and is relevant for everything that John has to say. Just as Paul and Peter wrote about warnings in their letters, so John has warnings in his letters for his readers to watch out for. And here again, we will just touch on these briefly. The first warning we already touched on. This is to watch out that we do not deceive ourselves, have a right attitude about ourselves, of who we are. Make sure that you are of the faith. Be in the Word, stand on the Word, let it indwell every part of your life. As Psalms 119:11 says, I have hidden thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Be in prayer continually, and stay in the body where there is safety. We were never called to be lone rangers in this world. We were called to be united together, to live together, to show our love for each other, and in doing that, to show how much we love Christ and how much He loved us. The second warning we find in chapter 2 verses 15 through 17, do not love the world or anything of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world has its desires, and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Do not love the world or anything of the world. Why? Because we are not of this world, and so the world will hate us just as the world hated Christ. The things of this world will draw us away from God. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that we need will be added to us. It is not a bad thing to have things to enjoy in this world, but when they take precedence over God, we need to get rid of them. For those of you who are unable to attend Gladys's funeral service, her key life verse, and what permeated through that service was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We need to keep our eyes on the goal that is before us, eternity, what God has prepared for us, and what he is coming back to take us to. That is far better than anything this world ever had to offer. The third warning is found in chapter 2, verses 19 through 27. It tells us to look out for false prophets, those who would deny that Jesus is who he said he was. As we stay in the truth of his word and stay in the fellowship, we can hold each other accountable and stay true to his word. This enables us to distinguish between what is false and what is true. It says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Are all of those who have left our church antichrists? No, not by any means. But I do believe that there have been some, even among our leadership, that were never part of us because they did not know who Jesus really was. And again, I'm not the judge of that. Christ is. But it says in Scripture also that you will know them by their actions. Again, as we stay close to each other and remain in his word, these are things that we can recognize. There's a fourth warning, and this one deals with the spirit world. It is to test every spirit. We see that in the first few verses in chapter 4. This one is much like the third warning, but may be a little trickier to distinguish. But again, through prayer and truth in God's word, God will make these things known to us. And God has equipped the body by providing individuals who have the gift of discerning between spirits, which you read about in 1 Corinthians 12:10. So God is more than willing to help us out as a congregation, to give us what we need in our time of need. Now to our text for today. As we start to look at it, I have to ask myself three questions that we will attempt to answer today. The first question, what does this text have to do with what John is writing about? It seems a little out of place. John is giving us encouragement, giving us direction, giving us warnings, and he doesn't mince words when he gives those directions or warnings. He's very blunt about it. So what do these verses have to do with that? And the second question, why does he repeat himself? And the third question, are the people John is talking to really who he is talking to? So let's read our scripture for today. John 2, starting with verse 12. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. We will answer these questions in reverse order. So first, question three, are the people who John's talking to the only ones he is talking to, or does he include others? Everyone that I read as they referred to this question confirmed what I was thinking, that the children, the father, and the young men refer to different stages of maturity in the lives of Christians in the church. The children would be those who are new in their faith, and John could refer to just about everybody that he was talking to as children, because as John wrote this letter, he had to be at least 80 years old, and some say 90. So if there is a grandpa in Scripture, John is it. All those who John would have known as fellow apostles have been martyred. He is the only one left. Not very good odds of surviving as Christians back in John's day. If you consider there was the 12 apostles minus Judas, 11, but then you add Judas and James and Luke would also be included in that. That would have been apostles back in that day. The odds weren't real good of keeping your life as you were a Christian. But just as Christians back then, much like through the rest of history, needed to count the cost of being a Christian, so we do too. And counting the cost is not very hard for us in America, as it is in Muslim countries or China. Counting the cost there is very difficult. But we too need to count the cost of being a Christian, what it truly means to be a Christian. Christianity is not passive, it's proactive. It gets into the mud. It takes time. It takes money or possessions, as we read about in Acts, where people gave up their possessions so that others that were in need had what they needed. But most of all, it takes love and being willing to be vulnerable. Now to our second question, why does John repeat himself? Whenever something is repeated in Scripture, we need to pay close attention to it, and that's the case here also. These verses pertain to the entirety of what John is talking about, and about how we are to live our lives as his followers. He wanted to encourage his readers in the way they are living. It takes a lot of attaboys to make up for an oh darn, I wish I hadn't have done that, or a lot of positives to make up for a negative. John wanted his readers to know that as they live out their lives, and as he talks about the rest of his letter, and as he did see them living, for them to be encouraged. You got this. And again, you are John's readers. You got this. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are growing in your faith, good job. John is proud of you. He wants you to know that. And I can't emphasize this enough, how important this is to John. This is so important that he repeated himself so his readers would not miss it. This should encourage us to live in a manner that pleases God, because the grandpa of the Bible is proud of us, and because all scripture is God-breathed, so our Heavenly Father is also proud of us. He is proud to call us his children. You got this. And now to our first question, where we will spend most of our time. What does this text have to do with the rest of what John is talking about? 1 John says, I write to you, dear children. The King James Version says, little children. And it's the King James Version also says, I write to you. For both of the times that he talks to children, the second time that he talks to fathers and to young men, he says, I wrote to you. The ESV says, I write to you the first three times, I wrote to you the second three times. But in any way, he does repeat himself in this. We can all relate to what John is saying here because we have all been here. If you have not been here as a child, then you need to ask Jesus into your life. We all have to be born before we can grow up. That is true in our earthly life, and it is even more true in our spiritual lives. John goes on to say, and again, I would say, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's an undeniable fact. John goes on to say, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. It's all about Jesus. He paid the price. This is where we need to start, acknowledging our need of him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. It's all about him. As John repeats himself to the children, he adds to what he has already told them and says, because you have known the Father. And as we accept Jesus as our Savior, he makes the Father known to us. John records Jesus' words in John 14:7. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. That's Jesus talking to his disciples at the time. Jesus is all about making himself and the Father known to us. That is what John 17 is all about, that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him and him in us and us in him. You cannot have that type of relationship with somebody that you do not know. Next, I would like to go to young men and come back to fathers. Young men are those who may be young in their faith journey yet, but are growing maturity. When we first become Christians, we have a newfound faith and we want people to know about it. Much like Eli, when he was baptized, wanted people to know where his faith lied. In Jesus and Jesus alone. When we are first in our faith, we have a boldness that for some of us wears off way too soon, and I am guilty of that. I have to check myself many times daily to make sure that my love for Christ is still strong. Jesus tells the church in Ephesus to return to their first love, or he will remove their lampstand. And again, does that mean that we're going to lose our salvation? No. But it does mean that we might lose our effectiveness for in preaching the gospel to those in our community. and have an effective ministry in our community. We all need to be aware of this in our lives and the love Jesus and love Jesus as we did at first. And remember how Eli professed Christ. We need to profess Christ like that. Maybe you are maturing in your faith and are standing strong on the Word of God. Don't give up. Stay strong. Staying strong takes intentionality. You need to work at it. You don't get a body like Crosby has just by lying around and doing nothing. When you want somebody to do the heavy lifting, you don't call on an older man like me who's all his muscles have gone south. You call on a Crosby. You call on young men to do the heavy lifting for you. The same is true in our walk in the faith. You need to work at it. As you stand strong on God's word and go through trials and persecution, you become stronger in the faith that Christ has given you to walk as he did. But unlike our earthly bodies that tend to go south as we get older, the spiritual health can stay strong and even grow as we remain in him. Paul talks about this in Romans 5:3-5. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us as we accept him as Lord and Savior. So like young men, stay strong. Community Worship Center has a sign out in front of their church there. And the sign this last week said, hope has a name. It's called Jesus. And last but not least, we have fathers. These are those who are maturing in their faith. They have been through the mud and come out on the other side stronger than they started. These are those men and women who can say, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. These are those who stand strong on the word of God. And when the Bible says that marriage is between one man and one woman, they stand on that and hold fast to that commitment. When the Bible talks about the sanctity of life, they hold the unborn up in prayer and are committed to helping the mother and the child. When the Bible talks about how we are to love and care for each other, we see that worked out in action, not just in word. We become the church of Acts. When life is getting hard and we don't know if we can go on, we can say with Paul in Philippians 1:20-21, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So that Christ may be exalted and glorified. These are those who are committed to training up a child in the way they should go, teaching every aspect of God's word and many other things that God's word tells us to live out our lives. There is not anything in our lives where the word of God cannot speak into it. So we can hear him say, as the master said to his servant in Matthew 25:21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. I like the way that John, in the Gospel of John, closes out chapter 17, starting with verse 24. He says, and I think that sums up what the sermon today has been talking about, what 1 John talks about. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you, that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So in conclusion, be encouraged. As I see this church is faithful to God and His word, I am encouraged. Let us heed the warnings that John has for us, making sure we are of the faith, stay strong and growing in His word and in the fellowship of the believers. As we grow, set the example that those coming up after us can follow. And above all, do everything in love, remembering that sometimes love has to do the hard thing. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your words of encouragement that you have given to us through your apostle John. Thank you for this letter, Lord, that instructs us and leads us in a rightful manner, showing us how we should live our lives. But Lord, thank you even more that you have given us words of encouragement, that you are proud of us, that you want us to know that you are there for us, and that as we are living our lives this way, that we are doing a good job, and we can be encouraged and know that our lives will set a good example for those coming up behind us and those in our community. And we pray for every one of them, Lord, that we witness to, that your word would accomplish your purpose in their lives. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff, for sharing. And this does go along well with what we kind of talked about in Sunday school today. Our calling here as believers is to love God, to love each other, and that's a challenge. I mean, it is not a life that is easy. We talked about we're always vulnerable to either affliction that comes in to our life, hardships, just difficult circumstances, and there is the reality of this being a spiritual battle where there is the thoughts that we deal with where we can be bombarded by things that are not true, and it can derail us from what our calling is as believers. It can lead us down roads of attitudes and behaviors that can really have negative effects on our life, and our call is what Jeff said, is to be to the Word and to keep our focus on what God has done in our life. And I liked what they said this morning in our class, where it said the hope for enduring some of these hardships is to really not lose sight of what is coming. That doesn't mean we disengage from the reality of what we need to do on a day-to-day basis, but it is looking to the truth of what is to come. And this next section in 1 John 2, where Jeff was reading, goes into do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride and possessions are not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. John writes too in his gospel, "Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also." And that is a thought like the rest of Scripture. Either it's true or it's not. We may get bombarded with the idea that your faith is a fairy tale or it's not grounded in anything. Well, there are no other great answers out there either. So it is something that we have to look at and evaluate. Is this true? And it is our God, our Father, speaking through his Son Jesus and through his disciples to give us hope that this is his creation, this is his plan, and this is through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, we do have hope for eternity. And I just want to leave you with that word of encouragement today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Just pray that it will continue to minister in our hearts and minds as we go through this week. We pray for our minds to be drawn to truth. Help us to understand the things that are true that we need to be focusing on and putting our emotional and physical energy into. Help us to understand things that are distractions and things that are really by design in our lives to try pull us and our affections away from you and for each other. And I just pray for strengthening of our faith. I pray for us as a church as we continue to go through this time of transition that we will be sensitive to what your calling is in our lives, and help us to be encouragers of each other as we go forward and deal with the things that we deal with in our lives, whether they be times of celebration or times of difficulty and affliction and hardship. Help us to be there for each other. Help us to really know, to understand, and to turn to your word as the source of truth. And just help us to look forward to eternity when you have given us the promise that one day you will make things right and you will draw your children back to you. And for that, we do look forward to that time. I just pray that you help us go this week. Just pray that you'll be with those who are traveling. We pray for Andrew and Danny as they travel back home from their vacation. We just pray that that will be a time of rejuvenation for them, and just help him as he gets back to his ministry here this week. And just pray for each of us as we go through the days of our lives here in this coming week. Just help us to strengthen and encourage each other, and help us to focus on you and give you the glory that you deserve. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.